Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Thanks so much for listening today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will do that role play where we pretend we're having that beer with Gates and Sergeant Crowley and the president tomorrow. Good few beers into it. They'll really be loving each other. Oh, the greatest cop I've ever met. But call in about 15 minutes if you want to play a part, either Crowley or Gates or Obama. And remember that the point of that is going to be reconciliation, not accusation, when we do it. So think about whether you want to be part of that action. But right now, has China's draconian one-child policy done its job a little too well? It's been controversial since its inception, creating a whole society without siblings or even cousins, if you think about it. But now news that city leaders in Shanghai, concerned about their aging population, have begun to openly urge couples without siblings themselves to have a second child, and that's causing a stir. Richard Jackson directs the Center for Strategic and International Global Studies Aging Initiative, and he joins me now to talk about this issue and demographic pressures even in China. Welcome to WNYC, Richard Jackson. Hello.
Yes, hello, Brian. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to join you.
Remind us historically why China implemented this policy in 1979 in the first place that so many consider a restriction on a basic human right.
Well, back in the 1960s in China was experiencing a huge surge in population growth because infant and child mortality began to decline as nutrition improved and health care improved, but people were still having as many babies as they always had, about six or seven on average per couple. So looking ahead, the Chinese leadership became concerned about the country facing a kind of Malthusian endgame in which the population would outstrip resources. So at first they began to encourage families to have fewer children. There was an informal two-child policy before finally in 1979 they enacted the one-child policy in an attempt to slow population growth.
And listeners, we can take some phone calls, particularly from Chinese listeners. If you're Chinese or if you're Chinese-American, if you've experienced the one-child policy yourself or in your extended family or among friends, or if you just have an opinion about it, if you're Chinese or Chinese-American, call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or also to talk about why they're reversing it in Shanghai right now. And Richard Jackson, what is going on in Shanghai right now?
Well, what's happened in Shanghai is, I think, of great symbolic importance. For the first time, the government is beginning to encourage people to have more children again rather than fewer. But it's also important to understand that the one-child policy has been gradually relaxed over the past 10 to 15 years, and there are actually a lot of exceptions. In the countryside, for instance, if your first child is a girl, you're allowed to try for a son, as they put it in China. And in the cities, and in particular in Shanghai since 2004, couples, as you mentioned, who are both only children themselves, are allowed to have a second child. And the government is now actively beginning to make people aware of this new option and to encourage them to have a second child.
Also, some ethnic minorities, including Tibetans, have been excluded from the restriction and have been allowed to have.
That's absolutely correct. The one-child policy only applies to the Han majority.
Those couple of exceptions that you mentioned, tell me real quick why in each case. Why, if you have a girl, can you go for a boy in some cases?
Well, in Chinese culture, traditionally, there's a very strong preference for sons. One reason, in the countryside at least, is that you need a son to help out on the farm. But the most important reason, and this applies throughout China, is that in Confucian culture, it's the duty of the son to take care of the parents in old age. And in China today, despite the development rapid economic growth of the past 25 years, the welfare state is undeveloped. Most people don't have pensions. They have to depend on the family for support in old age. And so they try to ensure that they have a son.
It's just the opposite of the United States, where it's usually the daughters who take care of the aging parents, right?
Well, there's actually a tragic irony here. It's the son, of course, the son's duty to take care of the parents, and this has helped to this traditional son preference has interacted perversely with the one-child policy to create a huge gender imbalance in China. There are many more boy babies born than girl babies. But in fact, of course, it's not the son who does the actual caring. It's the daughter-in-law. So the shortage of daughters is now giving rise to a bride shortage, and in the coming decades will give rise to a daughter-in-law shortage and greatly complicate the challenge of caring for China's growing number of elderly.
Richard Jackson, my guest on WNYC from the Global Aging Initiative at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, talking about the relaxation of China's one-child policy in Shanghai and in some other cases, and that other exception that you talked about, the global exception where the two parents are both only children themselves. In those cases, they're allowed to have more than one. Why would that be?
Well, because the Chinese refer to this as the 4-2-1 problem. You end up with one child, two parents, and four grandparents. So you have a sort of extremely inverted family structure and an enormous burden on the single child of a single child couple.
And that was happening particularly in Shanghai, where people were going along with the one child policy. Is that because Shanghai is a relatively affluent part of the country, and just like here, the more affluent you are, the more you tend to have one child rather than more?
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, the one-child policy in China helped to bring down fertility back in the 1970s and 1980s and into the 1990s. But by now, the one-child family, or at least the small family, has become the new social norm in China. And amid China's growing middle class, the preference is often for just one child. So the decision of the government to ease the restriction and to begin to encourage people to have more children may not have as big an impact as many people suppose.
Now, Chinese Americans who are listening right now, why are you people being so shy? We know you're out there. Nobody wants to talk about the one-child policy. What do you think? Is this right for China? Should it be in force in some cases so the population of the country doesn't go to 2 billion, 3 billion people? Or should it be relaxed because it's just not fair to the individuals involved or in these particular circumstances that our guest is describing? What do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Jay in Harlem is calling in. Hi, Jay.
Hi, I'm a Tibetan, and I have family members in Tibet, especially in Lhasa. And the one-child policy is also implemented in Tibet. It may not be legally, but if you have more than one child, the second child, you cannot be accepted in a public school. You don't get a facility in terms of the public other facilities in terms of medication and other things. So in a way, one-child policy is still implemented even in Tibet and also in other minority areas in Xinjiang. And right now they're having two-child policy. This is to improve the Han fertility, and at the same time to improve the hen population, and in a way, directly, indirectly trying to eliminate the minorities out of the face of the earth.
Jay, if it was, universally enforced and equally enforced, would you be for it, given the population of China, or still against it?
I'm against it in certain ways, and I'm for it in certain ways. Against the hand population, I'm against for it. But this is in terms of like in Tibet, where the Tibetans are minority, they have a vast land, and they're becoming their minority, and they have such a small population. What's the problem of having more Tibetans in a Tibet in Tibet?
Jay, thank you. And Debbie in Weston, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, I do agree the government's policy, because I've been I'm not born in China. I'm born in Taiwan, but I've been traveling in China many times and went to the big city and the countryside as well. And I do see, you know, it's less a lot of people there, and I really don't think that too many you know, the overpopulation will improve the quality of the life. So I think that there's a certain necessary, you know, to have a little bit of control.
Debbie, thank you very much. 212-433-WNYC. And Richard Jackson, one criticism I saw of the Shanghai policy, that is the relaxation of one child in Shanghai, is that in saying there aren't enough young people there, the officials are only counting registered citizens, not the migrant workers flocking to the city from other places. So is... perhaps isn't unemployment more of a problem there than a lack of young workers?
Well, it may well be that the policy, as I think you're suggesting, is specifically designed to promote fertility among the native born urban population,
yeah,
particularly among more highly educated and more highly skilled segments of the of the population.
That is the question.
Many of the migrants, if I'm not mistaken, would probably come under the rural rules for the one child policy and have that option of a second child. In the event that the first child was a girl, but I think the caller who raised the issue of runaway population growth in China makes a point which is often misunderstood. It's important to understand that the one-child policy, to the extent that the goal was to slow population growth, has been extraordinarily successful. The working age population in China will peak just 5 years from now in 2015 and begin to decline. And the total population will peak by 2030, plateau, and begin to decline. Number one. And number two, as I mentioned, easing the policy is highly unlikely to lead to a surge in population growth. If you look at surveys that ask women what the ideal family size is, and I've looked at a number of these in China, the overwhelming majority say one child or two children. Almost no one, just 5 or 6%, say more than two.
Nobody wants to go back to the way it was.
No, nobody
when they were having six children.
No, not at this point.
Right.
The small family, as I said, is the new social norm. The fertility has fallen throughout East Asia, even in the absence of coercive family planning policies. Fertility is lower in Taiwan than in mainland China.
Let me get
it's
one
much
caller
lower
into,
in Korea as well.
Let me get one caller to challenge you, then we're going to be out of time. Joy in Little Neck. Joy, thanks so much for calling. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I agree with what I just heard. I was born in Canton, southern China. I was a single child, and all my friends now who are in their 30s, they do not want more than two kids. They just want a small family because they don't. It's kind of like United States. They don't have time or energy to take care of you know, more than two kids.
Aha. Uh-huh. But you told us, Karina, that you were for the one-child policy. If
yes.
people's preferences are going in this direction anyway, maybe the government doesn't need to enforce it on people.
Exactly. Actually, from what I see, it's definitely a lot more relaxed. Like you mentioned before, in the city, if both parents are single child, you can have two kids. And in the countryside, it's definitely a lot more relaxed.
Joy, thank you so much. And you get the last word. And we thank Richard Jackson, director of the Global Aging Initiative at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Very interesting information about relaxation of the one-child policy, particularly in Shanghai is the recent development, but in various other circumstances in China, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And coming up next, we will have that call-in experiment and role play. Let's have that beer. Who wants to be President Obama? Who wants to be Professor Henry Louis Gates? Who wants to be Sergeant James Crowley? Call up and take a persona, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.